Right, that was fun. Thank you so much, guys. And they're going to stay dressed up because we need them. And the important thing about the story today is it goes backwards and forwards. Peter, Cornelius, backwards and backwards. And there's something really important, back and forth, because everything that each one says spurs the other on. There's a response. One says something, then the other takes a step further. And another step on. And it's quite incredible. So I want to explore this. Mike, can you do me a favour? First of all, let's turn our prop on. Is that on? Nice. Can you flip it towards Cornelius for me? Yep, that's the one. That's the way we're going. Off to Cornelius. So, yes. Cornelius was waiting for Peter, but he'd been active while his men had been away, going down the coastline to Joppa. So, what does Cornelius do while waiting for Peter to arrive? Because we'll enact this in a minute. What does Cornelius do? Does he just hang around going, oh gosh, he's taking his time? What does he do? Mike, could you go for it with the handheld? What does he do? Come on, be brave. What does he do?
He gets... He gets all his friends and relations to come to the house.
He does. He takes an amazing step of faith. He gathers friends and family. So I'm going to need some friends and family because he's on his little lonesome. So are there any small or big people who fancy being friends and family? Because they wouldn't just have been children, they'd be adults too. I'd like about 4 or 5. Come on, be brave. I need you to help me a bit later, so I need some pairs of hands. Adults, children, come on, 4 or 5, come forward. Anyone will do. Thank you, Ollie, you're a star. Yes. I like it. Oh, we're moving, and another. Yeah, come on, Lethal, come on, Michelle, you're good. What a diverse family you've got there. I like it. It is good. The church family is a wonderful thing. This is so important because it tells us something crucial about Cornelius. This is not any old gesture. It's a vital gesture. One of the friends and family. Do you want to help me, Max? Max. Could you open an envelope for me? This one's entitled One, purely for my benefit. This will tell us something about Cornelius. What was Cornelius like? Hold it up for us, right way round. Cornelius was faithful. Really important. Cornelius had heard the angel say that he was to send men to bring Peter to his home, and Cornelius believed the angel. In faith, he gathered his friends and family. He totally believed that Peter was going to come. Totally believed it. My first question for you is, how good are you at trusting in faith and sharing your story with others? Because, Cornelius, you shared with this lot what had happened, didn't you? Told them all about the angel, and yes. So they knew. They're as excited as the rest. Fabulous. Peter arrives. He chats to Cornelius. Meeting Cornelius affects Peter. Cornelius's faith does something in Peter. Can you flip my arrow, please? It's a back and forth today. And no, I did not nick the sign. But I know the person who gave it to me. Peter enters Cornelius's house. This was so out there, it's untrue. So out there, it's untrue. Mike with the mic. Could you do the deed? Why was it so extraordinary? Surely going into somebody's house was just what it should be.
Firstly, Jews weren't supposed to associate with non-Jews. And secondly, the Romans were hated.
Oh, you've added, you know, if I were back in school, you get bonus mark for that answer. Wonderful. Two things going on here. You've got to remember that Peter is Jewish. He's been brought up as a Jew. That's his identity. He's been brought up within it. He's going to see this guy who's a Gentile, who's a non-Jew. The Jews always saw the non-Jews as unclean. You couldn't enter into a house with them, because actually that could make you spiritually unclean. But you're quite right, he's a Roman. He doesn't look very fierce. We were not going to have the sword, but he's a Roman. Romans were the nasty, vicious, conquering power who'd oppressed the Jewish people. It was wacky, radical. So, he entered the house. What had Peter learned, though? He'd learned something really important. He'd had a vision. Do you remember the vision? The sheet had come down. God had said, kill and eat these animals. Peter had said, no, I can't. I've never eaten anything unclean. Nothing unclean has passed my lips. And God said, don't call anything that I have made unclean. Now Peter twigs it. Unclean animals, unclean Gentiles, so a large proportion of the Jewish world thought. But now Peter realizes that's just not true. And he enters Cornelius' house. Now he's not on his own either, and this is important. He had several people with him. So any of you that were feeling disappointed that you were slow to get out of your seat and join Cornelius, I now need a few people here. So would anyone like to be with Peter in that group that came from Joppa? Go for it. Oh, they're coming down from the balcony. That's a first. Well, hey. Oh, yes, 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 Lois. Wonderful. Thank you. Turn. That's wonderful. Wonderful. Yeah, come on. Come on, Lucas and Lily. Join us. Wonderful. Brilliant. Thank you. Love it. I think that's probably a first that I've had him running down from the balcony. Love it. So, I'd like one of you guys to open envelope 2. We learned that Cornelius was faithful. Cornelius' faith, combined with the vision that God had given Peter, has an effect on Peter. And we learned something really important about Peter. Who'd like to open envelope 2? Yeah, go for it, Lily. Open it up and show it to this lovely congregation. What does it say? Hold it up. He was open to new things from God. Now that's no small thing. Entering the home of a non-Jew was a big deal. In the very next chapter, yeah, you're going to have to answer for this. Peter has to go back to Jerusalem and justify why he's done this. It's a blooming big deal. And the leaders in Jerusalem need convincing. But they are, don't worry. Not least of which, because it wasn't just Peter who witnessed. All these other people were to witness what happened. God was doing a new thing. Let me ask you a question. How good are you at new things? How good are you when God does something you're not expecting him to do? You think he's going to do X. God does Y. What do? Do you retreat back? Or do you say, it's God? Let me leave that one for you. Peter asks Cornelius why he sent for him. Can you swap the arrow, Mike? Notice how faith builds faith. Cornelius retells the story. He tells the story in front of his friends and family and a whole bunch of strangers. And he's not bothered about telling this story. In fact, he's really, really bold. He tells the story and he finishes saying, now we're all here before God to hear everything the Lord has commanded you to tell us. Wow, that's out there. That's really out there. His faith has been bolstered by Peter's arrival. Peter has been honest. Peter has said, God showed me that I can come into your house. And he hasn't taken offense at Peter's words. Instead, it's built his faith. Would one of you guys like to open envelope 3? What do we now? Ollie wants to do it. Oh, good. Ollie, envelope 3. Go for it. Faithfulness, open to new things. What's next? Humble and honest. Cornelius doesn't big himself up. He doesn't tell a great big story and embellish it. He actually tells it straight down the line as it is. And he's just really, really honest. Can I be honest? Some Christians really, really annoy me. Because God does something in their lives, or they do something God asks them to do, and then they'll say, "Oh, but I didn't do it. It was all God." I always feel like saying, "Sorry, stop that false humility." Because God requires us in partnership for the outreach of the gospel. If God could do it all himself, we'd be unnecessary. The Great Commission says we are to go and make disciples of all nations, teaching and baptizing, does it not? No false humility. No, we don't big ourselves up. But we just honestly say it as it is. And that's what he does. That's what he does. How good are you and I at being humble? In other words, not being puffed up when something amazing happens. And how good are we at being honest and not trying to explain it away? Sorry if I sound harsh, but I want to challenge us, actually, because sometimes that "it's all God" is actually putting yourself down. Sometimes it's putting yourself down. Mike, can you swap the arrow? It's got to go back. Now Peter has the full picture of what has gone on. And Peter tells the story. It is the very first time in the whole of the Bible that we hear the good news told to Gentiles. It's worth bearing that in mind. Because in Acts 2, when Peter also speaks, he's speaking to a gathered group of Jewish people who've come for a celebration. They called it the Festival of Weeks. We now call it Pentecost. But this is the first time we have a recorded sermon. And I'm sure he was a bit longer, weren't you, Peter? You're a bit longer than what's recorded. It's a summary, isn't it? Yeah. But it's the first time we get a preach of the good news to a Gentile. And he says one or two amazing things. Just look at this. "I really understand now that to God, every person is the same." Wow. That is an admission that prior to that, he didn't believe it. Now he believes it. "God accepts anyone who worships him and does what is right. It's not important what country a person comes from." And then he ends up by saying, "Jesus is the Lord of all people." Wow! Prior to this, he'd have thought Jesus is the Lord of the Jewish people. Now he gets it. Jesus is the Lord of all people. That is absolutely amazing. We learn something really, really important about Peter here. What have we learned about him? Yes, he's come to a new understanding, but he's overcome something really important, which we as human beings often struggle with. A word beginning with P, which we don't like admitting to. He was prejudiced. He was prejudiced. It's all right, Mike. There will be another one for the mic. He was prejudiced. And he admitted he was prejudiced. Actually, admitting we're sometimes prejudiced is the place where we move on. The prejudice is gone. Now the gospel can really move. He says a couple of amazing things, though. "But they killed him, Jesus, by nailing him to a cross." Can anybody remember Cornelius' reaction when those words were spoken? Yeah? Can you do the action again? You were fantastic. Now, think about it. Brilliant, thanks, Tim. Crucifixion was designed by the Romans. It was something the Romans thought was utterly abhorrent. Now, the idea of Cornelius now hearing that about who he's believing is going to become his Lord, how hard must that have hit him? How hard? Not just him. All of these guys, all of his family were Roman citizens. It would have hit them hard. Peter continues, he speaks of the resurrection, how Jesus will judge all people, and how believing in Jesus leads to forgiveness of sins. Remember, we're going backwards and forwards. Faithful Cornelius leads to Peter being open to God, leads to humble and honest sharing, and it leads to... Do you want to go for it? What do we learn about Peter? Hold it up. Yeah. His boldness in the Spirit. Peter is ready to speak the truth. One of my favourite verses in the Bible is something that Peter wrote. But I can't help thinking that this may have been, as indeed you said this morning, Mike, one of the reasons why he writes it in 1 Peter 3:15. How interesting. It was Peter that wrote, shall we say it together? Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. I wonder, as he wrote that, how many of these conversations he was looking back on. He was bold. The moment came. And he knew as he was doing it that back home in Jerusalem he'd have to answer for this, wouldn't you? But he wasn't going to be stopped. Swap the arrow over again, please. Final time. And the Holy Spirit falls on Cornelius. And his family and his friends. Let's not forget that. It's the whole lot. The whole lot. Have the Holy Spirit fall on you. Go on, guys. Bit of acting. Holy Spirit falls on you. No, he doesn't do that. Okay, that's cool. I think this is important. It's not just Cornelius. The whole lot. And that tells you that they haven't just been dragged along for the ride. Over many years. You sure you're right there, Lauren? It's the funny bone. It'll be all right. Okay. Okay. It tells you that Cornelius has been sharing with his family a long time. They're all ready to go. But I want to tell you, there's something amazing about this reading. What happened wasn't normal. The way the Holy Spirit came wasn't the normal pattern. Normally the Holy Spirit came after a public confession of faith, or when people were being baptized, or when people are being prayed for. Not in this case. Why do you think? You can definitely go for it with the mic, Mike. Sorry, Mike. Why do you think it happened now? And there is a clue in the text. Why do you think it happened now? Nobody prayed for Cornelius. Cornelius hadn't made a public confession of belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. Cornelius had not been baptized. Why did this happen to him and the rest?
It was God saying that he wanted to include the Gentiles in his kingdom.
Oh, it was. But I think there's something, you're absolutely right, but I think there's something fundamental in our reading that we need to just look at. Here's a clue for you. Peter just said, everyone who believes in Jesus will be forgiven. God will forgive his sins through Jesus. So what do you think happened to Cornelius and the family in light of that? Because it happened straight after. What do you think happened? I mean, God certainly came and wanted to reveal, I agree with you. But there's something that's happened in Cornelius and in all his entourage. Anybody get it? Go on at the back. What's happened?
His heart believed.
His heart believed. Cornelius, I think you should open envelope 5 for me. And hold it up. You see, the Holy Spirit came because they believed in Jesus Christ. I have no doubt. It suddenly went, ding, 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 I believe. Whoosh. Didn't require a wonderful prayer or an erudite vicar or even a non-erudite vicar. Didn't require baptism, didn't require laying on of hands, didn't require public confession. It happened because they believed, and that's incredible. And all of this happened because of this incredible encounter. Oh yes, God had orchestrated it, and oh yes, God moved through it. But all the time the encounter moved. Cornelius' faithfulness led to Peter being open to God doing new things, which led to Cornelius being humble and honestly sharing what had happened, which led to Peter's bold preaching, which led to Cornelius and his household believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Back and forth and back and forth and back and forth, and wow! It changes. And that is awesome. Faith and trust in God. Salvation comes to Cornelius' household. In Hebrews chapter 10 verse 24, there's a lovely verse. Let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Is that not in part what they're doing? Led by the Spirit, it's what's going. We need to do likewise. I'm going to pray for you, but then I've got something we're going to do together. Are you up for doing something quite different this morning? It's not scary, don't worry. You're probably wondering what on earth I'm going to do now. Don't worry, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit may fall at any point. I don't need to do something wacky with that. Let's just pray. Dear Father, thank you so much for the amazing story of Peter and Cornelius, and for the fact that they were willing to be faithful for you. Help us, Lord Jesus, to be faithful. Help us to be open to your new things. Help us to be humble and honest. Help us to be bold in the Spirit and believe in you with all our heart. And help us, Lord Jesus, to be used by you to be instruments for others to know Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.